Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Philly. Are you doom scrolling? Well, cut it out. There's a better way to get your news.
Philadelphia's local news podcast is called The John Cast.
Check out The John Cast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One on One.
Yeah, I would have to say it's that moment that you land that dismount and you've just hit the best set that you could have done. You know, there's just nothing like that. It's just all those hours, you know, routine after routine after routine in practice. And then you get that feeling of, wow, I just did it. I just did the best I could do there.
And our guest this week is Barbara Cordova, the head women's gymnastics coach at Westchester University. And Barbara, thanks so much for the time.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So as we are talking here in late April, how much fun has it been competing again? If I'm correct, 2020 was cut short because of the pandemic. There was no real 2021. What's it just been like to be able to get the group and coach and have them compete?
It's been amazing, absolutely amazing. I'm thinking a lot just about the end of our season, and this year really has been just a celebration that we've been actually just able to compete. So I can't even explain how hard it was to get shut down in 2020 and then not to have a season last year. My seniors this year are fabulous. And I think a lot of it is because of everything they lost. It's just been exciting and truthfully a celebration.
What did you do to try to keep kids engaged while there was no competition? I mean, that I would imagine the toughest thing in your coaching career?
Definitely the toughest thing in my coaching career. I think Zoom, obviously. We now are all familiar with Zoom, but it was not much of a thing beforehand. So they didn't love it. I didn't love it, but it definitely helped us stay connected. So, the fall semester last year, we were totally remote and on Zoom. I'll give a little shout out, strength and conditioning guy who does a lot of strength and conditioning for gymnastics. He did, workouts, at home workouts for gymnasts specifically during COVID of what they should be doing in order. So when they get back in the gym, they're ready to go. And that was huge. We did those. I can totally see that really helped us when we got back in the gym finally in the spring last year. And we continued that. It's called Shift Gymnastics Education Science. I think I'm saying it wrong, but it was fabulous. And that's really one thing that really helped us. we also did, you know, team building, things like that. I know that my first year students from last year, it was so hard for them because their first year coming to college remote, not knowing, not being a part of the team. And so doing Zoom was super helpful for them because at least they felt a part of something in some small way. This year competing, I have 14 freshmen and sophomore who've never competed on a college platform before. So that was super challenging and they really stepped up to the plate. We've utilized a lot of our first and second year students this year and they really did well. They've really done well.
I'm curious, and you talked about this being a celebration and being out there. In a bizarre way, has this, and I don't say this like the fire was in every way extinguished, but losing something and then getting to do it again, does it increase the appreciation for it that maybe things that were just part of the routine before, all of a sudden there's a little bit more, and you know what, this is pretty cool.
I mean, absolutely. I think when you lose something, for sure, you appreciate it more. I think it's hard to understand when you don't lose something, just the appreciation for it. I will say that our team traditionally is pretty grateful and pretty excited about what they get to do. But, you know, this definitely set it up a little bit higher, for sure.
So what is your origin story with gymnastics? Was it just something as you're a kid, you started taking lessons and it just clicked? Or were you doing a bunch of sports? Like, kind of, how did you get your foot in the water first?
I started taking gymnastics as a young kid. I can't remember, probably about eight, nine years old. Just loved it. I was always passionate about gymnastics and also teaching gymnastics. I had a mat out in my backyard and I would teach my neighborhood kids like how to do tumbling and things. And so just from a very young age, I did do a few other sports, mostly individual sports. You know, I was a swimmer. I did some diving, you know, but for the most part, I did gymnastics all the way through my younger years. And then started competing, of course, and competing it all through high school at a club gymnastics program. And then I went to college. I went to Westchester. So, you know, competed all 4 years at Westchester. And so back coaching at where my collegiate gymnastics began. So that's kind of a little bit about my background. It's just always been a passion for me. I went to Westchester, majored in health and phys ed with always the interest in coaching, and ended up getting a dual certification of elementary education and health and phys ed. And so when I graduated, I taught both health and phys ed, but elementary ed. I taught fourth grade, interesting enough, for many, many years, but also coached alongside of that. And so I've done teaching and coaching throughout my whole life, but always, you know, always pulled back into the gym, always back into the gymnastics gym.
It's fascinating. You mentioned, you know, you had the mat in the backyard and you would teach neighborhood kids or whatever. What do you think? What was that? Just you wanted them to enjoy it as much as you did? Did you like knowing something that the other kids didn't know and you like teaching them? Like, that's just interesting at that young age to kind of have that coaching mentality.
Yeah, I think, you know, it goes back to teaching. You know, I think I have a gift of teaching, you know, like I think it's kind of a gift that I have. And it's something that I enjoy doing from a very young age. You know, then, and, you know, once I was older, I taught, you know, I started teaching classes and things like that in the gymnastics gym that I trained at, which is very common, but really enjoyed it. And so taught gymnastics all throughout, you know, my collegiate years. I would go home in the summer and I'd teach gymnastics. So it's just something that has always been a part of my life and something that I've always enjoyed.
You mentioned tumbling as a youngster. What were your events growing up, or did you do them all, but were there ones that were at the top of the list that you felt you were the best at and you enjoyed the most?
Yeah, I trained all four events. And in college, I actually competed all around a lot, but my favorite two events were bars, uneven parallel bars, and vaulting. Those were my favorite events and the events that I excelled at. Gymnastics is so different now than when I did gymnastics. The things the athletes that I coach are doing, I never did any of those things. They are so, you know, gymnastics has gone so high, the skill level. You know, I'm amazed at the talent of the athletes that I coach. And I was never that great of a gymnast as that they are. You know, it's just, and it's very different, you know, now there's a lot of, you know, technology and you know, just the sport just continues to get harder and harder.
Once you start getting, you know, as you're getting older before college, but, you know, you mentioned competing in high school and clubs and stuff like that. How much time are you working at it? Like, how many hours a day are you practicing? Are the competitions like weekend long, like where you would go somewhere and it would be a, you know, 2-3 day event?
I was at the gym probably, like, it was a long time ago, because so I don't totally remember, but I feel like I was there at least 4 nights a week and probably, you know, 4 hours probably when I was there. That's generally speaking the length of time that people train. Competitions, gymnastics competitions, generally they're a whole day long thing, you know, when you're in club. So yeah, you know, the weekends we would go to gymnastics meets and I would be involved, you know, in gymnastics meets, you know, very regularly. That was part of my life. And then before I coached in college, I did coach in club and then would also coach those gymnastics meets. College gymnastics is so much better than club gymnastics because, you know, we have a 4-hour meet, you know, and then we're done. Whereas in club gymnastics, you have, okay, this one is in this session, this one is in this session. And it is a whole week and long thing for a club coach. So I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. I enjoy the college experience and how competition works in college so much better. And it's so much fun. It's a team sport. Whereas when you're in the club program, it's an individual sport. So it's a whole different thing.
Growing up, we talked about you know, having that coaching, teaching mentality. When did you realize you were pretty good at gymnastics? I think it's one thing to enjoy it, but it's another thing when, you know, you're maybe winning things or you can do something that the other kids can't. Or as you get into high school, you start looking at colleges and there's, you know, there's interest there. Do you remember kind of an aha moment that, oh, wow, you know, I must be pretty good at this?
Wow, that's a tough question. I don't know, because I feel like I always thought that I was good, but not great. You know, I always would have liked to be better than I was, actually. You know, I did compete in college, but I did not get a scholarship. So I was a walk-on. But I had a great experience in college. Sandy Fields was my coach. She's an excellent coach. She really believed in the athletes that she coached and encouraged us to be the best that we could be. You know, she encouraged me to apply for several scholarships when I was already in school, which I was able to apply for and get those scholarships. So that was good. But I feel like I wish I could have been better. I don't know. I think I was just a good gymnast. I was good, but there was definitely people that were better than me.
What is the most exhilarating time as a competitor in gymnastics? Is it the moment before you start? Is it the moment when you have finished and you've nailed the vault or you've nailed the routine? You know, is there just the moment that cannot be duplicated, cannot be replicated anywhere outside of the competition?
Yeah, I would have to say it's that moment that you land that dismount and you've just hit the best set that you could have done. You know, there's just nothing like that. It's just so amazing. And I would say that is also as a coach, you know, when they hit their best set and they land that dismount, it's really exciting. So I would say that's the best. You know, obviously gymnasts enjoy performing, right? It's a performance-based sport. And so, you know, that part of it is exciting also. But when you've accomplished what you've, all those hours, you know, routine after routine after routine in practice, and then you get that feeling of, wow, I just did it. I just did the best I could do there.
Kind of related to that, because, and my experience is watching the Olympics. So, but, you know, I watch something and it is just incredible. And you'll listen to the commentators and then the judges, and it was good, but, you know, and I know what we're, but is it hard to not drive yourself nuts when you're competing? Because it is such a margin of error that if you land just wrong, or if you put your arms up too early, like stuff that the average person's not going to notice, but you know, is so important. Is it hard to not drive yourself nuts with all those little details and to have to be that precise?
Yeah. I mean, gymnastics is a sport about perfection. And let's face it, none of us are perfect, right? Like we're just not perfect. And so this is something that I really have to talk to my athletes about a lot, because we do strive for perfection. And as a coach, we're trying to get routines that are the lowest deduction as possible. But at the end of the day, I always let them know, listen, this is not what your worth is. Your worth is not in doing a perfect set. That's not where your worth is. And trying to make sure that they know that they're more than just a gymnast, and they're more than just an athlete. And I think that's really important in all athletics, of course, but in a sport of perfection, it can be challenging, because you're never going to be perfect all the time. And really, those perfect tens, most likely there's some little thing that someone could have found as a mistake, just to let them know that, it's okay. If you make a mistake, yes, we're striving for perfection, but we're never going to totally achieve that. And your worth is in something more than that. So, making sure that they know that, and that I let them know that.
So you mentioned coming to Westchester as one. You grew up in Delaware, right? So not.
I actually grew up in New Jersey. I live in Delaware now, but I grew up in New Jersey.
What was it about Westchester that drew you there?
They had a gymnastics program that was interested in me, and I could compete in college, and they had a great education program. So I think those were the two things. And the third thing probably is because it wasn't too far from home. It's about a 45-minute drive. I just lived over the Commodore Barry Bridge, so not too far. So, and there wasn't as much traffic then as there is now on 322. So, I think those were the top three items.
When you think to your time competing at Westchester, what are your top memories? And it could be a moment in practice, a meet, a victory, whatever. But when you think about your time competing at the college level, what comes flooding back when you think about those years?
I think that the number one thing is the relationships. I still have friends that I was on the team with. Those relationships that you build that you can't replace. I think that my coach, we're dear friends today, and she instilled just amazing qualities of a coach, in me. And so I'm so thankful for that. I think some of the moments that I remember are actually moments where I didn't have the best meet, and my coach just encouraged me and was there for me. And, I remember one meet, I can't remember. It was kind of a big meet. And, I could have done really well on the bars and won bars. And, that I really wanted that. And I can remember it was at home. I don't know if we were hosting a championship. I can't really totally remember all those details. And I messed up. I missed something. And, I was in the bathroom, and I just remember my coach coming to me and knowing how disappointed I was in myself, and her just affirming me. And she probably doesn't even remember it, but those are definitely stepping stones of things that I take to coaching, because, like I said before, it's a sport of perfection, and you're not always going to be perfect. And, what we learn in sports is more than just what we're doing out there on the competition floor, or, we learn things that help us in life and help us, to be successful in our careers and in our relationships and in the wherever we are, out in the world. And so definitely the experiences I had prepared me for that.
When you're competing in gymnastics, how much do you have to overcome fear with the idea that you are doing very difficult things in the air, or you're running very fast at a large object and trying to jump over? I mean, you are doing things that are dangerous and can be dangerous. And I think we lose sight of that because gymnasts make it look so easy. And, but is it just something that you don't think about that as you're competing, or you just do it so much from a young age that it's just kind of baked into the cake and this is just, what we do?
Well, fear is a big part of our sport for sure. I mean, you can't do the things that we do or they do without a little bit of fear. I think there's things that we set in place to help with that fear so that it's, obviously you're not going to be a successful gymnast if you're living in that place of fear, you know? So there's definitely things that we do to help with that. Well, number one, like you said, training for a long period of time helps that. Stepping stones leading up to a skill, you know, not just like, okay, I'm going to try a double back today. No, you know, you start slow, doing a lot of drills. Mental training is huge. We utilize that a lot in our gym, you know, working through a positive mindset. Like we talk, you know, not just positive mindset, but positive words, not just words like you're good, you can do it. Words like lift, step, you know, like mental choreography is what we call it. And so words that the athletes actually say when they're going through a performance. And one of the things I learned this from a sports psychologist many years ago, but one of the things that does, so it's not my own idea. One of the things that does is it pushes out the negative chatter that we have in our brains. And the negative chatter can be a lot of things, but in gymnastics, a part of that negative chatter is fear. So when you're focusing on what you have to do, like I need to jump, I need to square up, things like that, it pushes those things of, oh my gosh, what if I fall? What if I got hurt? What if I land on my head? It pushes that negative chatter away. So that's a really important way to defeat that fear.
Time for a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Westchester University head women's gymnastics coach Barbara Cordova right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Our guest this week on One-on-One is Barbara Cordova, head women's gymnastics coach at Westchester University.
You mentioned you were coaching club prior to coming to Westchester, but when you make the transition, and you had talked about coaching's been a part of your life since a young age, but when it becomes kind of your profession, and you did the sole focus in gymnastics. Was there anything that surprised you that you were kind of now responsible for, or ways you had to look at things that you hadn't looked at before?
Well, I think coaching a collegiate sport is hugely challenging because you have, it's, you know, it's not just coaching, you know, it's not just coaching. You know, you have, you know, I have 24 athletes on my team, you know, and they all are human beings and they're in school and they have all these, you know, needs, you know, and as a coach, you know, you have a huge responsibility to not just meet their, you know, not just help them to perform well, but to help them, you know, in their everyday life, in school and all of these things. And so I think that was surprising to me, like how much, you know, it really, and I think the average person that has never coached doesn't really get this. Like, you know, there is a lot of stuff, you know, that's involved in it. And I think whether you're at a huge Division I school or, you know, Division II school like Westchester, there's a lot of differences. Like I have a part-time assistant, that's it. So a lot of the jobs that, you know, maybe your assistant would do, I'm doing, you know, but even, you know, no matter what, it's a huge responsibility. And I think that that was one of the things that was kind of surprising to me, like, wow, this is a lot. There's a lot involved in this. Yeah.
So several years coaching before you come to Westchester, I think in 2008, if I'm correct, what was the opportunity? How did the door open? Was it something you heard there was an opening, something you wanted to pursue? Kind of how did it come together?
Yeah. I was actually working at a club in New Jersey and actually one of the girls on the team there was looking at going to Westchester. Her mom, I think this is how it happened. Her mom mentioned to me that the job at Westchester was open. And so at that time we were getting ready to move to Delaware and it was just a perfect time for me. You know, my kids were old enough. I had young kids at the time, but they were just getting ready to start school. So it was a part-time job at that time. So I thought I can do this. People at the club gym that I worked at encouraged me to apply. I was a little nervous, like, can I really do this? I reached out to my coach about it. And so I applied and I got the job and, it was just perfect timing for us. We moved to Delaware. It was not too far down the road for me to travel. So, yeah, I will say also the year before I went to a meet at the alumni meet and, you know, the program was kind of in a difficult place right then just because they had been going through a lot of different coaches. After my coach retired, they had gone through a lot of different coaches and the girls did not perform really well. And I think that also motivated me because I wanted to be able to come in and really, really help it to continue to get better. And so that was a goal. I'm very goal oriented. You know, every year, okay, we did this year, let's see what we can do next year. And so that definitely was a motivational piece for me. Like, okay, let's see if we can't, you know, we were very successful when I was a gymnast at Westchester. And so, you know, we won a lot of meets, we had a lot of success. And so I wanted to see that back again, because I think it kind of lost a little bit of ground in that way. And so that was motivational for me too.
Did you feel extra pressure? Cause it's one thing I think to, you know, jump into collegiate coaching, but to do it at your alma mater, like, does that add an extra level of, you know, this has to go right because I love this place?
I don't know if I felt that way or if I feel that way. I mean, definitely I am passionate about Westchester. I love Westchester. It's my alma mater. I just feel like I came in and I didn't come in with the idea, well, I'm going to change everything right away. I came in with the idea, I'm going to little by little try to make this program as best as it can be. And so each year we improved and, you know, I think that's awesome. I'm happy with the success that we've had and it did not, it comes just by little working on it. I definitely, one of the main things that I knew walking into it that needed to happen is I needed to get some scholarship dollars. And so right away, the first thing I did is started fundraising for scholarships. And that is really what has helped turn things around, because I was able to do that. You know, each year I was able to raise more and more scholarship dollars. And that's kind of one of the things that was able to help us to be as successful as we are today.
Did you have any background in that? Because I mean, like, or is that something you just kind of, you learned on the fly?
Well, the fundraising that I do is, the major fundraising that we do is we host invitational gymnastics meets. And the actual parent that I mentioned to you of the gymnast at the club that I worked at, she is like, I can help you. We can run one of these meets that will really help you. And that was one of the things that I asked in my interview, can I run one of these meets? And the athletic director at the time said yes. And so I run two of those meets a year. The one that we have in spring, there's we had 700, almost 750 athletes this spring. And so that brings in a lot of revenue. And so that's the number one, that's the thing that I started first. So that's our biggest fundraiser. So I had experience, yes, because I was in gymnastics my whole life with how those meets work. This parent actually was a meet director and had run several of them. So she kind of helped me, and she still helps me to today running these meets, which is awesome. And so, yeah, I had experience in that kind of fundraising. I think right now I could leave and go work for a nonprofit because a big part of my job is fundraising. And that's just how it works at Westchester. We fundraise a lot of our scholarships. And so, and I knew that that was going to be a game changer. And so that's something I knew I had to work hard at.
I'm curious, as someone who competed in gymnastics, where you're the one out there doing it and you're in control of what happens, when you're coaching, is it difficult to give up that control? Because you can work with a athlete for hours, you know, and you know they're trying their best, and you can talk to them before they get on the mat. Okay, don't forget, when you do this, do X, don't forget about Y, but they're the one that has to do it. How long did it take you to be able to give up that, or not to be able to give up to it, but to be comfortable with not having that control from the coaching standpoint?
It's hard. It is really, really hard. So I'm not sure if I've totally given up, but we do this activity on our team before we walk into a competition, like before we're getting off the bus. You know, I give them all like a little piece of paper and they write down their trash, right? Like, get rid of all your trash, throw it out on the way out of the bus. That we're not going to deal with this in the gym. One of the things I always write down for my trash is I can't control their performance. You know, I can't control that. You know, that's an uncontrollable for me. You know, I can help them. Like you said, I can give them cue words or things like that, but at the end of the day, I can't do it for them. And so just kind of releasing that and saying, okay, that's my trash. I'm going to throw that out. And just, you know, also mentally performing with them, you know, helps me also. You know, it definitely helps me push out my nerves, but just like going through it with them as they go through their routine, that's also very helpful for me.
So when you took over in 2008 and you mentioned the program was, you know, in a little bit of a down spot, when was the first moment that you felt success, that you felt like since you had taken over that there had been a significant step forward? Do you remember? And whatever it was, like the first victory, like what was it?
So at the time that I took over, we were scoring high 170s. So, you know, that's not a great score in gymnastics, collegiate gymnastics. So we were like scoring 178, you know. So obviously, like that first year, our goal was to break a 180. And I believe we did that first year. I'm trying to remember. But our biggest goal, as we progressed year after year, was to break that 190 score. I still have a picture of the news article up in my office that we broke that 190. And I'm like, that was amazing. My assistant coach that coaches with me now, she was on the team when we did that. So the first time you break that 190 is huge. And so that definitely was one of the, you know, standout moments of like, okay, we are getting there. We are, you know. So that definitely was the first moment.
I'm curious, when it comes to putting a roster together, are there certain events that are more difficult to find high-level performers than others? And I don't want to say any of them are easy, but are there certain events that you really have to work hard to find someone that can do it at a high level at the college level? Or is it pretty much across the board, it's about the same?
No, uneven parallels and vault. Those are the hardest two events to find people on. And so, I mean, pretty much when you're recruiting, probably every college coach tells you that, you know, they ask, what are you looking for? Well, we're looking for vault and bars. You know, it's just the difficulty is harder to come by there. I think for vaults, one of the things that's really challenging that's different in club gymnastics than college gymnastics is in college gymnastics, we compete 11 weekends in a row. In club gymnastics, they'll compete at meet, and then 3 weeks later, they'll compete another meet. Also in club gymnastics, they compete in a lot of facilities where they're competing on a vault surface that is actually softer underneath. We compete on a hard surface every weekend, 11 weeks in a row. So it's very demanding. So not just looking for those good vaulters, but vaulters that are able to handle that, you know, competing 11 weeks in a row on a hard surface. So that's one challenge. But the skill level on bars, it's just hard. And you have to find that unique. So a lot of times people that I find on those events, sometimes that's all that they do. You know, they're not as, you know, sometimes people tend to be stronger on bars, but not on the power events, you know? And so sometimes the girls that are on uneven parallel bars that I recruit, that's really their strength. And sometimes that's all they compete because that's where their strength is.
When you started at Westchester, how hard was it to get used to the world of recruiting? Cause I, with the club, did you do any recruiting or is it more, they come to you? Like, you know, my kid wants to do gymnastics. Here's X amount and we'll be here for this long. So were you flying blind at first with the recruiting, or had you been around the block enough that you had a general idea of where the athletes were?
No. So definitely recruiting was something totally new to me. And so that was definitely a learning curve of working on that. I will say, because there's so few collegiate programs in NCAA that people do come to you, people that are knocking on your door because they're trying to find a program. And there's so many amazing athletes out there, and there's so few collegiate programs. And so that makes my job a little easier that, you know, people are always setting out, you know, they're sending a lot of emails out to coaches because there's so few programs. So, so that was helpful, you know, that I didn't necessarily have to chase people so much. I think the challenge was, and still is sometimes, you know, having that Division II, you know, we compete against a lot of Division I schools, you know, in our conference and also in our national league. And obviously NCAA is open to all divisions. So having that Division II label is difficult sometimes because people want that Division I, you know, label. And so helping them to see, you know, what kind of experience that they can have at Westchester that, that they would really enjoy. And so that's one thing that I have to really focus in on and really encourage them with. Also, you know, obviously when I first started, I did not have a lot of scholarship dollars because that was something that, you know, the fundraising piece hadn't been there for a while. And so it took me a while to really have, you know, scholarship to offer to people. And we still are not a fully funded Division II program. So, you know, that's challenging, you know, to sell them, you know, when maybe you don't have a full scholarship to offer them. And maybe they can have an opportunity to have a full scholarship somewhere else. And I think the big key to that is the experience that they're going to get at Westchester, which is a great experience.
Where are the hot spots when it comes to recruiting? I know every sport's got places that, you know, if you're going to that are kind of the first boxes you check when you start your recruiting. Where are they in gymnastics? I'm sure there are certain club pipelines or strong high school leagues, stuff like that. Where are the hot spots?
So I would say that Region 7, so gymnastics is based in, there's 8 different regions across the country. Region 7, which is the region that we're in, Pennsylvania, is a huge, it's a super strong region. So we have super strong athletes right in our backyard, which is really helpful for us. And, you know, one of the things about Westchester that's amazing is that we have, you know, pretty reasonable tuition for in-state athletes. So that's something that is super helpful for that. So I would say Region 7, you know, Pennsylvania, you know, is really one of the strongest areas in the country. Also Florida, there's a lots of great athletes in Florida. Texas is another one. It's hard to get for me to get people from Texas though, because it's so far away. But there's so many great clubs throughout the country. But I would say, you know, Region 5 is another one that's like Ohio. We do have one athlete from there. So, you know, I think what happens though is you will get an athlete from a club and they'll have a great experience. And so they'll go back and say, hey, I had a great experience here. And so that really helps too.
Since you've been at Westchester, you have gotten accolades. The team has won at a high level. You've had individuals compete and succeed at very high levels. Kind of the same question I asked you about your career as a gymnast at Westchester. And obviously there's still a lot of time left, but to this point, if I ask you, what are the favorite memories of your run so far as head coach at Westchester? What's at the top of the list?
Well, at the top of the list first was what I mentioned before, the 190. During that time, I had an athlete on the team, Augusta Valentine, which you probably heard about her. You might've actually interviewed her. I don't know, when she was an athlete. She's definitely the most decorated athlete, Westchester gymnast, you know, in history so far. She made 3 NCAA regional championships as an individual all arounder, which she's the only, since it's been the open championship. And so that has done that. We definitely, before it was an open championship, we've had national champions and things like that. But in this current era, she was very successful. So she was a gymnast on the team when we broke the 190. We also qualified for USAG Nationals as a team for the first time in 2017. So Westchester has been in other national championships, but the USA Collegiate National Championship is the championship that we currently are competing in. And it was our goal from the time I started to qualify as a team eventually. My first year, we qualified 1 athlete. The second year, we qualified 2 athletes. And then we built and built and built. And 2017 was the first year that we qualified as a team. And so that was a huge, huge, you know, accomplishment for us and just exciting. Then again, in 2019, we qualified as a team again. And that was, remember, we had to hit our meet. We finished on bars. I knew we had to hit because we were really close with someone that was competing somewhere else the same day. And, you know, we knew we had to do well. Basically, it was down to this last meet and they just hit the best bar rotation that they had probably all year. And they hit. And I look over to my husband, who was at the meet, and he said, "You guys did it. You made it." And so it was so exciting. So that was really fun. And I would have to say, this year, I have an athlete that's competing for us this year, Jessica Meekum. She's a 5th-year student. She lost her end of her junior year. She's, I don't know how many All-American status she has. She's, you know, very successful all around her. And just an outstanding young woman. You know, she's a great leader. And, you know, she's a 5th-year, she's a graduate student. So she's, you know, she's older also, which really helps. But this year we're having a standout season. We have a new conference this year, the Gymnastics East Conference. There's 8 schools in that conference. We had a goal in the beginning of the year that we wanted to finish in the top 4. We finished 3rd. So we were excited about that accomplishment. Qualified for nationals as a team. We get to compete there this weekend. We scored a 195 this year, a 195 at our conference championships. Like, you know, it wasn't that long that we were breaking that 190 and we hit the 195 mark, which is just unbelievable. you know, this year has been our most successful. We've had our best average, our best national qualifying score. We've broken several records this year. So I would say this year, and like we started in the very beginning talking about like having lost something, how much more you appreciate it. So, yeah, I think those are my three standouts for sure. I'm also going to NCAA. I did forget this, but with Majesta going to the NCAA regionals, we went three different times. So that was huge too. And Majesta, she just missed qualifying for NCAA nationals, which is huge by 0.25. So she's an amazing athlete. I expect to see her in our Hall of Fame someday. And so those are my three. My four top ones.
Favorite part of what you do?
My favorite part of what I do is just to be involved in these young athletes' lives. You know, they are special people, and just the opportunity to mentor them, to coach them, to prepare them for gymnastics, but most importantly, to prepare them for life. So definitely, just like I said, the big win when I was a gymnast was the relationships. The big win for coaching is the relationships.
Barbara Cordova, this was great. Thanks so much for taking the time.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
And that will do it for this week's episode. Want to thank Westchester University head women's gymnastics coach Barbara Cordova for being our guest this week. Now, if you like this show and you listen on Apple Podcasts, want to do us a favor, go ahead and leave a rating and a review. You can follow the show on Twitter at @1on1pod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.